We hope today's edition of the Hour of Power will be encouraging and uplifting for you and your family. If you have a prayer request you would like to send after the program, email it to hourofpower32@gmail.com. You're listening to a broadcast produced daily, Monday through Friday at 9 a.m. on therockchristianmusic.com and live on Facebook on The Rock Christian Music page. Or you can find us on the Paragon Communications app and take us with you everywhere. Let us pray.
Good morning. You are tuned in to the Hour of Power, the most powerful hour of the day. I'm Tina Dobbs, sitting in the driver's seat this morning. My sister in Christ, Monica Lovell, is over there running the iPad for us. And our guest this morning is Rick Spain. How are you this morning?
I'm here. Happy to be here. What, two? Yeah, really. Monica said, ask us when we have more coffee in us. Isn't that the truth? Well, I tell you what, I woke up this morning, I have an internal alarm that wakes me up, usually wake up about 4:30, and so, this morning, I had an external alarm, and that was a muscle spasm in my calf. I mean, it's right on 4:30, though. It was like the Lord saying, it's time to get up, son. You know, it's like, oh, my gosh. It was one of the worst spasms. Anyway, this is not very edifying, but this was my experience this morning.
Well, so. I'm glad you made it.
It's still sore. Man.
That's a rude wake-up call.
Yeah.
If you have a praise report or a prayer request, you can send them to us three ways. You can email it to hourofpower32@gmail.com. You can text it to 580-485-0837. Or you can comment on the Facebook post, and we'll do our best to get it on paper and pray for you about halfway through the program. Our sponsor for today is the Refuge Church, located at New Liberty in Sarah, Oklahoma. Pastor Powerhouse Tammy Bailey. Please like, share, and comment to let us know you're joining us, even if it's the replay. And today is Thursday, so after the program, we will have a word from Pastor Dwight on the Truth Broadcast. He will not be in the building, but after this broadcast is ended, we'll reset up the iPad and we'll bring you the Truth Broadcast. His title for today is New in Christ.
I think I covered it all. Yeah, but I don't care how many times you say that. My tongue does not move that fast. And I know if I eat, I guarantee you it would be, my tongue would do something that it wasn't supposed to do every day when you're doing that. So I'm just thinking, wow, I'm just amazed at you guys.
It has several times.
Yeah.
It happens to both of us.
Yeah. Well, we're going to.
I do it on purpose so that you feel better.
Yeah.
Okay. Welcome to our room here, folks.
That's you know, how much
I do.
Loves
before
me.
Before I pray, I do want to say one thing for the sake of my mother. Now, for those of you that see us on Facebook and you see Rick in his tattered clothes, these are my work clothes. And so I actually have better clothes than these, but you never get to see me in those clothes. For the sake of my mother, I want to tell you that I can dress better than this. But anyway, let's pray. Father, we love you and bless you. We thank you for this day. This is the day you made. We're going to rejoice and be happy in it. Lord God, we thank you for the time on this program. We just ask, Lord God, that you give us ears to hear, eyes to see, and a heart to believe so that we can do what you tell us to do. I thank you, Lord, for touching people's lives today, for meeting them in the area of their need, and being who you are. In Jesus' name, amen.
I like your title. God is creative. Yeah. About a sneeze?
No,
oh.
Sorry. Yep. Just the body reacting. Yeah, really.
Lack of coffee still.
No, it's not that. You know, God is creative. I just, you know, I told the girls in here before we went on air that I may rock some boats and ruffle some feathers this morning. If it's needed, guys, it's something that you know. Let me put it this way. So I was in a small group last night with some other guys, and this small group is about half of it is a social gathering, and well, maybe two thirds of it. And then we get into some word, and it's like, oh my gosh, let's just get in the word. You know me. So anyway, we're talking, and and somebody made a comment about God moving, and and said something about the sovereignty of God, and I made the comment that yes, but God doesn't control everything. Boom, the can of worms was opened.
Goodness.
Yeah, the can of worms was opened. So we went to discussing the sovereignty of God. And, you know, I've spent about 20 years on this topic, and it's absolutely the foundation of everything that I teach, is how, not that, is God in control? That question's easy to answer. God's in control. Yeah. How can you say God is in control and yet he doesn't control everything? How can that be said? You know, and so I've just learned, spending time with the Lord in prayer specifically on this subject, and over the years, and I'm talking long time, he's just revealed things to me about his character. And that's the main impetus of, you know, this whole conversation we're starting out with, or my introduction. Is understanding the character of God. Because when you see the world as it is, my Lord, it's a mess. It's just one big mess. And so is God up there stirring the pot? You know, is he the one that is moving this person do this person do that? And, you know, and he's in charge of everything. Nothing happens outside of his will. Well, that's kind of not exactly what I want to talk about, but what we are going, I want you to remember this. And the thought isn't, is God in control? The question is, how is God in control? And that's what I want to get into tonight. Genesis 1:1, so I'd like for Tina to quote this scripture for us this morning.
In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth.
That's right. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. And John chapter 1, verses 1 through 3, it says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things came into being by him, and apart from him, nothing came into being that has come into being. So that's kind of interesting. Nothing came into being that has come into being. So all that exists comes from him. He is creative. And so I want to get into that. So what happened to this world? You know, it goes on to verse 2 in Genesis 1. It says, and the earth was formless and void. And so, does God create formless and void? Does he create anything without purpose? Why is verse 2 in there? And the earth was formless and void. You know, you look at that, the word, English word, was. So that's a complicated word. And when you look in the original language of Hebrew, and I don't know what the word is, it's a hadiah or something like that. But what it means is it existed, it became, it's a standard understanding, you know, so it was complicated. We read this in the English and we think, well, you know what, that's the earth was, God created it and it was all messed up. It needed some renovating. See, that's what I do. Lots of renovations. And so we go into a zone that I went into a house recently and she's wanting to add on to her house. And so I walk in there, and it's one of these things that when you walk in, there's a path. That's where you walk, in the path. And come to find out what she wants the add-on for is because she wants to get the stuff out and put it in this little room. And so now, was it dirty? No. I mean, it was definitely full, everything. But she had a tub, she had little shelves, you know. Everything was, she's a creative artist is what she is. And so she does all kinds of, like, quilts and, you know, baskets, all kinds of stuff. She's really good. But it's in her house. And so her whole house is filled with this. You know, and so that's what it reminds me of verse 2. God created the heavens and the earth, but he had so much stuff there that it wasn't put in place. But God doesn't, he's perfect in all his ways. When he creates perfectly. We're going to get into this here in a minute. I wrote this down, and I'm going to read it to you. But I just want you to have an understanding that God does not create formless and void. So if you look at that English word was, you could actually say that the earth became formless and void. Why did it become that way? You know, so you compare the word by the word. Mm-hmm. And you know, we can only, there's some things we can, I mean, there's so many people, what do we do? How do we build our teaching? How do we build our preaching or our concepts of life? As Christians, we take the Word of God and we build our life on it, whether it's a misconcept or not. But I want you to understand, the only way you can interpret the Word is by the Word. That's the only way. Doesn't matter what the Baptist, the Pentecostal, the Charismatic, doesn't matter. That doesn't matter. These doctrines that we build, that we live upon, are simply that. They're just the ideas of men that have interpreted this is what God wants us to do and how he wants us to live. And so a lot of the interpretation is based upon man. So getting back to verse 2, I wasn't planning on talking about this at all, but we are. So, you know, Jesus in the gospel, he said, I saw Satan cast down from heaven to earth like a lightning bolt. You know, and so when did this happen? This is the, now, and then there, you know, there are Bible scholars that interpret it this way, and others say that, well, God just kind of threw a blob out there to begin with. God doesn't throw blobs. He's perfect. Perfect, perfect. And so, you know, in the line of interpretation that I'm going in, that, you know, the scholars believe that Lucifer was cast down to the earth in between verses 1 and 3, and it became formless and void, because Lucifer was cast down. And he created what you call the antediluvian age. So I don't want to get too deep in this, because I want you to get something out of it. But this is just a little bit of information, you know. So God is creative. This is evident in everything that he does. We see and experience creation and think, is this all there is? He sees potential and fulfills what can be. Now, I want you to get that. So we think of creation as to how it looks, how life's going, you know, and the reason why I get into this topic, and because it's so foundational, is because a lot of people believe the experiences in their life are God ordained, and possibly God had nothing to do with it. Now, there's one thing I do want to add into the equation, that in God's creative process, that what we do in this creation is only made possible by what he has created. So we can't take something and nothing and make something. Now, what God does, he takes, golly, am I gonna get too deep? I'm feeling myself getting deep. Yeah. When God created, what did he use? Words. He did use words. But what was the material that he used?
Nothing. He spoke from nothing and existed. Right?
It's kinda, you know, but there had to be something. And so God's not like us. When we need something, we go to Walmart or wherever and pick it up. You know, we need this missing ingredient, or we need whatever it may be. We go and we pick it up, we come back and we finish our whatever we're creating, whether it's dinner or whatever. You know, and with God, there is no Walmart. Think about it. That, you know, if he was to take something from some other place or entity, he wouldn't be God. How does he create? Where did it come from? It came from him. All of creation came from him. It wasn't like he spoke, he had an idea, and boom, there it was. This is who he is. So we think on human terms. We think on creation, well, I need this or I need that in order to fulfill this project. You know, all he needs is himself. So I want you to get this. I want you to get it. He's creative. So we are moved by the appearance. He is moved by himself. We recognize the need. He recognizes the purpose. So everything he creates is created with purpose. Absolutely everything. There's nothing that he creates and says, well, you know what, I don't think that's going to work. Chunk that away. Once again, if he's chunking that away, he's chunking part of himself. You understand chunking, right? throwing away, sorry. That old southern fella in me. But you know, in the Hebrew line of thinking, they thought on dynamic terms. And what we do is we tend to think on static terms. So let me define that to you. Dynamic terms means that, you know what, if you turn the key in a car, what's going to happen? It's going to start.
Or try to.
Yeah, exactly. But, you know, it takes a lot of working mechanisms for this to work. That's the static. That's the static effect. And so this is how we think. We think a lot on the static effect. We see all the circumstances in life, and this is, it's brought us to where we are. You know, and so the Hebrew mindset was God created, and he created with purpose, and therefore, you know, what he did, it's the purpose is in the dynamics. Does that make sense? Are you sure? Okay. Okay, so I am getting a little deeper, but I'm, you know, I'm digging a hole here for a reason. So he is creative. When our existence was made known, everything that was needed with all the potential was initiated in the beginning. Everything. Oh, if we don't understand this, then we're going to start blaming God for this circumstance or that circumstance or what this person did, you know, or, you know, whatever happens in life, the static effects of life. Everything God created was in the beginning. Nothing else. He's not having to create something new. So let's keep going. Everything that was needed with all the potential was initiated in the beginning. Every part, every ingredient was compiled when God said. There was absolutely nothing left out. There is no other component that he has to include. You will never hear him say, "Oh, I forgot about that," or "That surprised me." His creation was and is perfect in every way. There is absolutely no... Let me say something about that. His creation was and is perfect in every way. So we look at the world and the condition of it now. Is it perfect? Mm-hmm. No, it's not. And so we've got to determine how is God creative? And so, you know, we look at Lucifer, you know, and he was cast out of heaven. Okay, so he was like at the throne of God. You know, he was right there. I mean, what he gave away, it was like, turn your head around and say, "What?" You know, it's like, yeah. I mean, so he was right there at the throne of God, so he's seen all the inner workings. He's seen everything. He probably had a relationship with God that not many had. You know, and so, but then he started seeing, well, you know, I would do it this way, you know, because I'm seeing that you keep on throwing yourself out there, and then people are going to walk on you, you know, and that's, you know, I'm just conceptually taking on Lucifer's mindset, but he was creating. Lucifer was creating. Now, we have to understand that creative ability was bound only by what God had already created, who he is. He couldn't go above that. His creation was bound under the rules and the laws of God's creation. So how does God create? Am I really getting deep? I'm doing good? Mm-hmm. Okay. All right. You're understanding? I hope you guys are understanding, because this is Rick Spain. We go into some deep stuff. You know, so Lucifer's up there and he's saying, "Well, I'm doing it this way, I did that." You know, if I was in charge of this, mm-hmm. it would work a lot better. You know, and so he's talking to the other angels, and he's obviously pretty persuasive. Because we see a third of the angels went with Lucifer. A third of them. Wow. That's big. Mm-hmm. That's a big deal. And so, you know, he's saying, "This is what I'd do." And finally, he lets it out. "I will be." I. And the thought itself got him dispelled out of heaven. No more. And so, what did he do? He was cast down the earth. Jesus said it, right? Cast down the earth. When was he cast down? Well, it was before Adam and Eve, I can tell you that. Mm-hmm. You know, but then God came in and he recreated the earth, made it new again. But Lucifer's still here. And so Adam and Eve are there in the garden. And Lucifer knows, you know what, I'm not going to mess with Adam. Because God, he's given him the authority. I'm going to mess with Eve. Because she didn't hear the direct command from God. Adam did. Yep. And so it goes in there and he twists it, Monica. He twisted it up and he said, you know what? If you eat that fruit, you're going to be just like God. Just like me. That's what Lucifer was saying. Just like me. And, you know, the sad part about it is that Eve ate that fruit. But who was standing beside Eve? Adam. Adam. Side thought. Guys, we got to protect our ladies. We got to protect them. You know, that's our responsibility. You know, and if Adam would have fulfilled his responsibility, well, Rick wouldn't be here talking about this. You know, and so, but anyway, so when they ate of the fruit, what happened? That gave Lucifer the ability to rule. Jesus said that he is the God of this world. Mm-hmm. He is. Now, is he the God of this planet? No. The earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof. But he is the God of this world. Now, what's the difference? The world is systematic. So the world systems, he's in charge of it. I mean, you can see. Mm-hmm. What does the world, what's the message of the world? I will, I will, I will. It's about me. Mm-hmm. It's about me, it's about me, it's about me. That's the world system. And so that's why there's so much corruption in the world, because we have followed into Lucifer's creation. He, you know, the reason Lucifer cannot be forgiven is not because he sinned. It's because he created sin. He created it. And so what we experience is the effects of his creation. So we got to understand he's ruling these world systems. I didn't plan on talking about this at all, you guys. But, you know, I just believe that, you know, we got to go here. And I believe the Holy Spirit wants to take us here so we can have some understanding. You know, so in other words, a lot of what goes on in the world is not God's fault. It is Lucifer's fault. And we have turned our ears towards Lucifer rather than towards God. That's why it's so important to understand not just that God is in control, but how God is in control. And so we're going to go one more step and then we'll take a break. One more step. How is God in control? And this is so important to understand. So there's a couple of ways he's in control. Everything in creation came from him. And so you can't add to it. You can't take away from it. You can't. I mean, if you do add something to it, well, you know, eventually you'll find yourself in that bottomless pit with Lucifer. you know, forever and ever. So there are things we can do, but they won't work because they're not a part of God. You see, in heaven, there's no problems. No problems. Why is that? Because everything works in perfect order. Everything. You know, it's not like we're deciding, well, do I want to do it God's way or do I want to do it my way? No, that doesn't happen. We're in perfect agreement with who God is. And so in understanding who God is, am I putting you to sleep, Tina?
No, this is very interesting.
Okay. So in God's creation, how is he able to monitor and dictate exactly what can be done? Well, then comes the rules, the laws, and the principles. And that's throughout the Word of God. Throughout the Word of God, even as the law was being presented to the children of Israel, he was saying, if you'll follow these laws, you're going to be successful. If you don't follow them, you're going to be a failure. Bottom line. And so that's the key. So am I saying that, yeah, so now we have to go back and live under the law? Nope. Jesus fulfilled the law. What law did he fulfill? Because these laws are still in existence. The prince of gravity still works. I mean, the sun comes up, the sun goes down. This stuff, all these laws are still in effect. If you cheat somebody, you're probably going to either pay the penalty or somebody's going to cheat you. That's the law of God. And so we still experience this. Jesus fulfilled the law. So what is it? What's that mean, he fulfilled the law? What that means is, see, the Jewish mindset was, if we do all of this stuff, all fulfill all these laws, we're going to be right with God. Well, we know now that there's no law in our efforts that can make us right with God. There's only one way, and that's the blood of Jesus Christ. And I'm telling you, so I want to get that very clear, that I'm not putting you back under the law, but I want you to understand everything. Nothing in existence works without a law behind it. Everything. Everything. And that's even in our relationship with God. You know, now, we are not bound by that law. We have a free choice, free moral choice. We can either do it God's way or we can do it our way. Even as Christians, we can do that. Is that going to affect my salvation? Well, it's like my pastor says, if I could not do anything to buy this salvation, what is it that I can do to lose it? That's a good point. You know, I mean, we get into this thought too, that's part of the concept of who God is and how he does things. We think, well, you know what, I've committed the unpardonable sin, you know, so I got to go back to the altar and get saved again. Hebrews tells us there's only one salvation. There's only one. If you go back to your old ways and then you come back and say, God, I need to be saved again, what are you doing? You are treating the blood of Christ as it doesn't have any meaning. This is good stuff this morning.
Yes, it is.
Yeah. But, you know, so how does God control? By the rules, the laws, and the principles.